Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio at wolfspiritradio.com and everbeyond.info/radio. I've got a new little site there going. Tonight, and noborders.radio.co.uk, broadcasting there from Glasgow. So we have our Anglo-hemisphere here. And tonight, my guest is... Now, let me just... I just want to get the right words, because it's a brilliant, brilliant way you put this. A Night Shadow Anomaly Detective. Solaris Blue Raven is her name. And I'm sure you'll be as intrigued by her name and her description as I was. And let's walk the midnight. See, over here it's 11 o'clock p.m. Welcome, Solaris. How are you doing?
I'm good, JP. How are you?
Well, yeah, things are mellowing out a bit. You know, I just had a great show with Katie Glanty, and we're talking about dark magic, enormous entities, the Orion Wars, and the Illuminati. So I'd say the audience are well primed for what we've got to be talking about, because this is like your picture fits in with the modern version of this overlay that we've been talking about. So it just everything always seems to fit in a very harmonious way these days on the Sunday series of shows that I do. So good. Welcome, Solaris. How are you doing?
Thank you.
And
I almost missed the time, and I so apologize.
It's okay. I have a phrase that you've time zoned out. You know, because
oh my goodness, yeah, time doesn't exist. But yes, yeah. I'm glad I double checked over here. So.
Excellent. Because like I was calling, and obviously you like had headphones and
right. You know. So it's only a few minutes, but that's good. Okay.
Yeah, you were spot on time. You actually
wonder.
So you know, as I introduced the show just then, that's when you called. So everything just perfectly on time. I know angels are not about like being early. Angels are never early. They're always just exactly on time. So how do you want to start? Where do you? I mean, let's say imagine that you're talking to. Well, remember we had a conversation the other day. Imagine you're just talking to me, and you know, you don't have to explain yourself. You just have to, you know, mention the name of Project Paperclip, and we'll know what you're talking about. You know, you don't have to explain
right.
What it is.
Well, there's so many levels to mind control. I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about covert technology insofar as the different types of mind control, I mean, I went through a covert program back in 2004, and we can talk a little bit about that.
So when you say you went through it, were you... did you sign up for it? Were you?
No.
Are you? Do you have like CIA or military family or anything?
I have military family, and some CIA in the shadows, but nothing. I mean, basically, I was tagged for experimental purposes, or the communication system itself. I think there were several reasons why they pulled me into the program, but I think part of it was because I'm naturally clairvoyant, and I had a very, very charged Merkaba signal, which they locked in on and were able to use that signal to interface onto their communication system, which is based on synthetic telepathy, artificial intelligence, and a live handler agent with communications, so live feed.
So
it's pretty complex.
Yeah, so, but what that means is that you've got, like, it's like you've got the old FBI, you know, little curly wire that goes into the ear. That's all inside the skull now.
Yeah, I don't need a wire. But that's pretty much what they train you for spy birds. I mean, that's what they could use it for. Certainly, if they're recruiting people, they could use that for their own personnel. I mean, I wasn't recruited like that. Like I said, I was a test pilot for a lot of different things. And because I was being abused with the communication system, and I was being tortured with this type of psychotronic warfare, I stood up and I basically turned in the parties that were involved initially and just held my ground and wrote a book about it, because I don't believe in the misuse of technology, which is why I address this. And hopefully people appreciate the fact that I came forward with information based on truth and this type of technology, which literally can destroy people's lives on so many different levels. So I think it's very important that people know there's a technology out there that can really take your life away and also just totally misrepresent you as a being, as a life form.
Yeah, and so have you ever figured out that, I mean, I don't know, probably, it's probably not the right way of saying it, but are you aware now why this happened to you? Aside from, if you believe in the sole purpose that you needed to find out this information in order to get it out. I mean, was there a kind of conscious way that you moved into it, or was it like you just found yourself like with hearing voices and experiencing things? What was the deal?
Okay, there's a little feedback there. Basically, I'm a natural clairvoyant. I'm a natural psychic to begin with. And when I was tagged in 2004, I was already at a very high level of consciousness and doing very powerful work on DNA activation and healing. That to begin with. When I was tagged with the communication system, that opened me up to their synthetic telepathy program, which has a lot to do with remote viewing, pattern recognition, life handler agent programming, and communication live feed with synthetic telepathy between me and my handler, and then, of course, interfaced onto artificial intelligence. So what that was, what I see it as, is an extra tool in communication. I see it as something that's being used for advanced covert operations, for anybody in covert military, covert space programs, and things like that, that can handle this type of communication. I do believe, now that I've gotten through everything, and it's been 10 years, you have to remember, it's been 10 years since I've initially been tagged, but I can tell you, I'm calibrated for being able to do it. And I think it's hard to do for a lot of people. I think it would drive them insane. People would wind up committing suicide. So I give myself a little bit of credit insofar as getting through it with no drugs, no alcohol, no therapy in any form or design. I just pushed through it. I knew it was technology. I dealt with it, and I wound up becoming more and more empowered just by embracing my own celestial heritage and then ascending with the technology embedded.
So basically they embedded the wrong person from their perspective. But
I think so
obviously
too.
The right person as well.
Well, part of it, too, I mean, you have to remember they did take away my life. I mean, I can't get that back. So that was kind of like I was zeroed out. I had a great marriage, a great life, great career. I had, you know, financial security. I had everything I've ever wanted was perfect for me on that timeline. And they took all of that away from me. And then they tried to burn my life and then discredit me. And then, you know, so it wasn't real pretty. You know, they have that character assassination thing when you come forward about, you know, exposing the misuse of technology. And I just really thought I was doing the right thing. You know, when I came forward, I did so because I didn't want to see other people's lives destroyed. So it wasn't about being vindictive in any form or design, but I do feel that there is a responsibility when you have access to a technology such as this. And there's so many good things we could have done with it. I mean, that's what makes me so annoyed is that we could have done wonderful things with this technology. And I'm sure it is being done in the Black Space Program. However, it wasn't being done to me.
Yeah, well,
time.
The Black Space Program is owned by the Nazis, so you can't expect them to do anything good with it yet. So,
well, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, and this has to be a turnaround. You see, the way I'm sensing it is that beings like yourself are here to, at the right time, just send the signal back the other way when it's appropriate.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. And also what it does is it kind of levels the playing field insofar as, okay, we understand the technology. We're all naturally psychic to begin with, but I think it's a heads up for people who are very enhanced naturally so that if they do get tagged with a type of communication system, they'll be able to either ride through it or find a way to disengage from it so that doesn't ruin their lives. I think that's very important. But I think you're right. I mean, it just leveled the playing ground. That's all. I mean, it just literally, I think they did choose the wrong person on some levels. I mean, I'm a good soul. I don't do bad things. So it's like, I'm not interested in doing things negative. I mean, that's just not my mission on this planet. So I'm a teacher's teacher.
Sure, and it's a great place for you to sit here in this virtual room that we have here. So, it's lovely to have your energy. I do enjoy the kind of breath of fresh air that your clarity of thought brings.
Well, thank you.
So,
wasn't always like
me. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I was so inundated with the communication system, I had to fight to really think for myself. So when people say I sound really good, that makes me feel very, very good, because honestly, I went through hell and back to get where I need to be.
Well, you see, I've spoken to a few targeted individuals in the past, and it's really, they're totally scrambled. They're absolutely scrambled, and they don't make sense, and they gabble and this and that and this and that and this, and this is connected to that.
And I will tell you,
go ahead.
There are different forms of the program. So there are the targeted individuals who sometimes they're cell phone towers, sometimes they're microwaves, sometimes they're scalar waves, sometimes they're zero-point transmissions and Mach radio signals. I had the artificial intelligence. And I must say, even though I had a handler live feed in real time, I think that the fact that I had handlers live feed in real time that trained me, I think kind of kept me alive to some degree, because these guys don't have that. They don't have the pinging back and forth. They don't have the live feed handler interface that I had with the synthetic telepathy. I think a lot of these guys just get a lot of bombardment of dialogue. They don't understand what it is. It's usually probably artificial, so it's not even based on a real person half the time. Like, I had a real handler that opened up the communication system, and that made a huge difference. These guys don't, and I think that's what makes them very, very lost. It's a very dangerous thing. You know, people are forced into suicides. I'm sure you're familiar with how bad it can get for some of these people. It literally destroys lives. I mean, people that could be productive in our society and good, smart, intelligent people are just being, you know, cast aside and getting lost.
Ground into the dirt, as it were, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's really so not appropriate. And it's really not a benefit. Or it's really a lose-lose scenario for everybody, honestly.
So... Let's look at I want to look at various levels of electronic and auditory influences on our lives. And there's been a thing here in Britain, and they've called it the hum. And it's been something that was in the newspapers in the 70s and 80s, and it's like an irregular, it's kind of a it's not quite a regular beat, it's not a rhythm, it's a very asymmetric rhythm, and it's very low level, and I've tried recording it, and even with my best mics I can't pick it up. But you can feel it. It's like having a diesel lorry in the vicinity.
Does it sound like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, is it coming from underground?
Most likely. It feels like mechanical. But I mean, are you aware of anything like that that is used as a psychotronic weapon?
Well, I know they had the you remember the Taos drum? I mean, Taos drum. Taos hum. I think they had one a long, long time ago. I remember hearing about a hum. And so far as a weapon goes deployed, they have ultra-low frequency weapons that they can use. Usually you wouldn't really detect them that well like that, but if you're sensitive, you might. I know I've heard propulsion systems before, but this was way before I was tagged. And I have a natural ability to hear pretty much beyond what normal people can hear. And I think that's yet another reason why I was tagged with the communication system, is I can hear a lot more naturally. But I do think they are deploying ultra-low frequency, obviously, and then some other things they piggyback off of that wave so that they can subliminally affect people psychologically. And, you know, you don't have to hear dialogue to get affected. I mean, it can be as simple as just something that they're transmitting that's going to agitate your cells and agitate your you know, design to a point where you get just annoyed for no reason. I mean, it's literally going to affect you on an emotional level. And a lot of the times it's because we are very centered and we go with universal flow. And when you get hit with one of these programs where they're scrambling the energy field, they're scrambling, they're hitting your aura and your four-body system with a chaotic kind of weapon system. So that does happen.
So there's audio, you know, there's audio frequencies that do this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's electromagnetic frequencies that are doing this stuff. Do they have things that piggyback on Wi-Fi that are like, doesn't matter whether you're actually in actually on a computer, but that it comes out through the carrier wave of the Wi-Fi? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know offhand, but I'm pretty sure they can do it. excuse me, because when I was tagged in 2004, I was well aware that my handler was live feed in real time. We were communicating through the computer a lot, and I was typing, and he was keylogging and things like that, live feed in real time. So they are able to do measurements and also do a scan on your electromagnetic field and a lot of other things, mapping the brainwave template and all that other stuff. So it's amazing what they really have access to do. And I'm not talking regular government. I'm talking the guys who have the real access. So there are things that they can do like that for sure. And that's why anything electrical can be hijacked. I mean, that's the bottom line. And we are electrical beings. We are conductors. We're transmitters and receivers. We're natural antennas. So it's only logical that they would try to do something like that. But, you know, when you see people who are channels or are naturally psychic, I mean, we obviously have access to be able to be like that to begin with. It's just that they're using the body as a weapon now. They're weaponizing the entire psychic centers and the way we are able to function.
Yeah. Hmm. Do you know anything about the Orion War?
You know, I really don't.
Oh, that's good.
Do you
want
to elaborate for me?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to fill me in on that a little bit? Or no?
Well, I mean, this is what I was talking about with Katie in the previous show. What we call the Nazi influence, that's from Orion. It's like a kind of bad energy virus thing that manifests itself on a planet.
I don't mean to cut you off. Sorry, I'm still used to talking. I apologize and being a host. I was going to say that the brain templates, you know, there's the psychotronic weapons program that they use brain templates, and that's what it reminds me of. They call it a brain virus when they deploy certain things against the masses, and the brain virus literally infects people psychologically to a point where they can't function. They're like zombies. So that's what that reminds me of when you mentioned it.
Well, that's very interesting. I've been thinking about this because, you know, I've been in the computer business, not even business, as academic, for more than 30 years. And so I've seen them all. I've seen all the viruses, and I've all seen all the virus alerts. You know, you probably remember warning, if you get this email, don't open it because it'll do the delete your hard drive and murder your mother-in-law and blame you for it. And send this to all your friends. Mm-hmm. Do you remember those things?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, well, they are viruses. They're a psychological virus.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
They were probably experimental as to see how effective they could be, because one day they might drop the big one. It's just a facility. So, I've been thinking, wouldn't it be cool if there was a love virus?
Or like the love bug.
Yeah. The love virus, where people, it's like MDMA for the soul. It just melts everything that is hooked on to all this evil stuff, and it just drops away, and evil has no command anymore.
I kind of think that's true. I mean, I think we deploy that through higher consciousness, and also I'd like to say the sun does that through the celestial energies that come through the sun, the photons and things that activate the DNA. So we do have those capabilities, if you ask me. And I hope I'm not getting an echo, or you're receiving an echo, rather, because I'm hearing a little bit of one. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
You only get an echo when my mic's open.
Okay.
You should only get an echo when my mic's open, because it's just I'll have to turn it down a bit further.
That's okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure you knew about it.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a mixing desk here, so it's all there. So we've got various levels of psychotronic weapons, but the big question is, who is using it? And why are they using it? And why you?
Yeah, people ask me that a lot. Well, I think why me, like I said before, is that I was a good candidate for their experimental induction. I mean, at the time they hit me, I had everything going for me. And I was also teaching martial arts. I'm a black belt, so I was teaching martial arts. I'm an athlete, you know, runner, very fortified spiritually. I was doing land surveying with my husband at the time. I'm a AutoCAD drafter, and I also worked in the field with him. So I had a really good background for this sort of thing, insofar as I think being anchored and grounded enough to be a participant in it. And I think partially, considering the source of the people involved who were high profile in entertainment and music industry, I would say it was partially for their own personal entertainment, and also to see if they could see how far I'd go with it in the communication system, and see if I could even do it. And I did. So like a test.
So you were placed or you were prepared?
Well, I was prepared, but I didn't have any idea that I was going to go through this. I mean, I know, as psychic as I am, and I really do see things, and I log it, and it always happens, I never saw this coming, ever. I never, ever saw this happening to me the way it happened. So it was really strange how this occurred.
So how did you find your way? What was the thing that the first signpost that you'd say, this is the way out of this mess?
I think the way out is taking your power back step by step. And what I did, I kept training. I kept working out. I don't do drugs or alcohol. You know, once in a blue moon, a glass of wine or something, but nothing, you know, heavy duty. So I think that I just took my power back like that. But spiritually speaking, I think that was the biggest thing also, is just staying fortified in higher consciousness. And I started ignoring the dialogues. I started ignoring my handler. I started slamming my handler back with a communication system. I wasn't about to be tortured with this type of communication system. So I really started countering it. And to a point where I just literally held my ground in my body and moved on from it and wrote books about it and started exposing it. And once I started doing this, it was just a step-by-step process of taking my power back. And I always remained grounded and anchored, but I think it's because I'm naturally like that too. And I think the fact that I'm a black belt really has a lot to do with how stable I am mentally and how secure I am in my mind, because I'm extremely fortified. I'm really hardwired to be very grounded. I mean, I'm spiritual, but I'm very, very anchored.
Yeah, that shows through your. So basically, in the language of these things, you recapitulated all of the mastery that you prepared for in previous lives.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right about this, and not to get too esoteric, but of course.
Well, you can, because this is an esoteric show, so you can go as esoteric as you like. You can go beyond esoteric.
You're so great. Well, you know what's really interesting is, we will tend to get esoteric, but anyways, I was thinking about a lot of this, and insofar as why, you know, and I know I'm naturally psychic. It comes from my family heritage too. My grandmother was extremely psychic and clairvoyant, so and not only do I have the lineage and the bloodline for this type of thing, it's more about where I've been on other timelines and other past lives. And without getting into too much of it, I do know where I was on Atlantis, and I do know I was there. And I know that sounds very off to some people, but I will tell you that we have a lot of gifts that are encoded in our DNA and our cellular structure that get activated each lifetime. And when we have these gifts from other lifetimes, we incarnate here on this earth plane, and we activate them through higher consciousness, and they come back to us. Well, this has happened, obviously, being psychic and a healer. I was able to do this naturally, attuned DNA activation. But what I found interesting, after having regression done in the 90s, there was always a battle of psychic wars on Atlantis. And what I find myself kind of falling into on this timeline was the same thing. It was about power. It was about control. It was a psychic war. It was a synthetic telepathy battle to maintain my own mind, my own psyche. It's really interesting and how it played out. And I never saw it like that. But then I started looking back, and I did have a past life regression back in the 90s, and it lasted about 4.5 to 5 hours about Atlantis. And so I remember a lot of details about that. And I think it just feels like everything's coming full circle from all of our timelines. I mean, and this goes for anybody who's had other lifetimes. I mean, I think whatever you don't clear or whatever has trauma at the cellular level is going to surface on this timeline, and you're going to have to work it out. So that's kind of a heads up for anybody. And I'm pretty sure people are understanding that now.
I'm pretty sure everybody's going through it. Everybody I speak to has got some kind of issue going on. And it's like, yep, a big zit. It's like, you know, it's been building up and building up, and the pressure's building up. And any moment the dome is going to tear. And
we have to realize how ancient we are. I mean, at the cellular level, I mean, this is the vessel, of course, but there's a soul, there's an embodiment, there's soul extensions, there's a celestial design that's connected into the big full light universe. I mean, we are so complex, and yet we don't even know it because we've been dumbed down as a society. So I think once people start really opening up to those higher levels, they're going to be starting to see more and more of who they really are on a celestial level. But I say, you know, for everybody, is really fortify yourself, embrace your gifts, your spiritual gifts, and just keep ascending with your own higher consciousness based on love consciousness also, because that's huge. If you don't have love and you don't have a type of compassion for your fellow man or for animals or for life itself, then that really derails people. So I think it's really important to stay that, you know, very conscious and very compassionate.
Yeah, and that's getting harder and harder because we're seeing more and more horror. We're presented with more and more horror on the television, and you know, no matter what you tune into, the mainstream is just terrorizing us all on a mass scale on a constant level. Which is part of a program. It's all part of
absolutely.
A program.
Desensitizing the masses, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, those little hammers that you have with little spikes on to tenderize your steak to make it tastier.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, really.
There is, you know, there's a definite parallel there.
Right, and it's so dysfunctional. What I find interesting is why it's just such a waste of time and the illusion of time. It's a waste to have false realities, false programs, false matrices. It's a waste of the life force because we could be doing so much more on this world and other worlds as a civilization. And I'm thinking, you guys, man, this is no good.
That's right. And we got to find ways of empowering people, or, you know, as I keep saying, you know, I can't empower anybody, especially being a bald white bloke, but how does somebody empower themselves? You know, you had the issue that you were, you know, you were directly challenged.
Right, I think they do that.
So really, people have to kind of ask for that challenge in order to wake themselves up, and it's not a pleasant process.
No, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. To be honest, I don't think the majority of people could handle it. And I'm not saying that with arrogance. I would say, insofar as just being being educated, you know, just start researching, reading, studying mysticism, studying higher, you know, studying the mind, studying higher consciousness. Try to meditate. Do things that are more spiritual, which will activate you to a higher level of consciousness. That's part of empowerment, right there. Because once you get through the veils of the deception, you start seeing with clarity, and that gives you more of a fortified feeling of being able to navigate on the earth. So that's one thing. And I also say, you know, some kind of a training program, exercise. It doesn't have to be like a full-blown exercise, but something that helps you harness energy, helps you feel better. I mean, your diet, your physical activity, all these things are calibrated into your body. So I think those are really, really important for self-empowerment. And also not watching television. Stop feeding your mind garbage. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Stop feeding the beast with this, you know, people sit there, and I know it's easy to just turn on a TV and veg out with a popcorn, but you just have to discipline yourself and walk away, especially if it's not beneficial.
Feeding the beast is a good way of putting it, because, you know, not only are you feeding like the animal side of yourself, but you're also giving the energy to the dark side, the beast, you know, by subscribing, but, you know, by sitting, by doing nothing and sitting in front of TV.
I think it's important also to confront, I don't want to say confront evil, but I guess you have to on some levels. A lot of people, it's feet, what is it, they either run away or they fight. Was it fight or flight? So literally, I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I've always been a warrior spirit. So I don't back down in any form of design. That's just not the way I'm wired. So I think that for me, it might have been easier to be able to navigate through the type of programming that they tried to hit me with. But for some people who are liking to run away, want to run away, they're not going to have a choice anymore. So they're going to have to learn how to stand up and fight. And that means fighting, being mentally strong too, and also being able to see through the lies and the deception. But there's so much out there. There's so much data. I mean, it gets to be crazy. I mean, even for the alternative media, there's so much. You just have to step away from it and look at it from a higher perspective. It's quite the challenge, actually, on this timeline.
Well, exactly. Especially when stuff happens in your own life. You know, like, you know, like inside your front door, things are going on that you can't, or you have trouble controlling. You know,
right. Well, try that inside your mind. I mean, think about it. You know, there's no place to run in your head. I mean, there is no place to go. You are being invaded inside your body by a communication system that's live feed in real time. This is not a spirit or a ghost or a demon or, you know, anything like that. This is a live feed communication system with a handler. So that's something that I don't wish on anybody, because I swear, man, if people get hit with this program, and I know quite a few who've been hit as the targeted individuals, but like I said, they just have the little audio stuff going on, and they don't have the full-blown assault weapon hitting them. I'm sure of that. Most of them don't. So, but it's really a dead end to nowhere, and it will destroy your lives. And the thing is, it's trying to control consciousness. They're trying to control thought, because we manifest very easily through thought and consciousness, as you know. So once they can get a grip on trying to derail your conscious thought, well, then they have the power, because that's part of the mind control. That's controlling your energetic as it's flowing out of your psyche.
Exactly. Wow, interesting stuff. So, when you found yourself, or when you heard this stuff starting, what were your kind of initial? What, I mean, can you remember the first time that you heard something that was not your own thought, or was it a gradual process?
Well, they identified themselves very clearly to me, and then they were screwing around and saying, well, my handler was saying, I'm the angel of death. And I started laughing, and I said, well, so am I. And that's when the chess game started, you know, that we started, going back and forth, and the war game really started then, because I could hear him live feed in real time. He could hear me, but he opened up the communication system to hear me specifically. And then we started communicating, and it was more, I felt like they were trying to teach me. And then that started getting interrogation and abuse and abuse and abuse. And I do remember, in the initial programming, he said, you're going to hate me for this. That's what he said to me live feed in real time. And then he said, well, you may have to be re-educated. And that really ticked me off. But I was determined not to allow them to program me, you know. And I still have programs that run for pattern recognition, so that's still there. But insofar as them trying to just completely take me over, I wasn't allowing that. I was fighting it tooth and nail.
So when you say a live audio feed, does that mean that your thoughts come out on this guy's computer speakers?
Oh, in his head. I mean, it's live feed, real-time synthetic telepathy communication system.
So he's hearing your thoughts and you're hearing his thoughts.
Absolutely. We were interfaced. It's the most intimate thing you could possibly imagine between two people. I mean, I might as well have not have been married, because he was literally more like my husband at that time.
And you could feel him as well.
Oh, absolutely. He was monopolizing me. They were literally doing all sorts of things, and sexual things, but a lot of different types of things to me. I mean, it was completely taking me over. My vitals were taken over. All my motor skills, where they were trying to take over my motor skills. There was one time when I was driving, and they were trying to drive me off the road, and I had to tell myself to stay focused and stay on the road out loud, because they were trying to, like, literally cause me an accident, literally. So, I mean, this is what I mean. When people get taken over by these programs, and if they're trying to do an assassin program on the target, they're going to take that target out if that target's not strong enough. I will tell you point blank. It's remote assassin. I mean, there's so many levels to it. I can't even begin to tell you how many levels there are to these programs.
Okay. So there's a program. Who runs it?
Well, there's different covert intelligence agencies, as far as I can tell. I know that what I call black budget, and so far as the stuff in the underground, I would say anything connected to black space programs, underground, my labs, military, that sort of thing, for sure, CIA, you know, all these guys are involved in mind control, so to some degree they have access to the communication system. You know, you want to mention DARPA here and there, but, you know, all these guys have been a little bit of a piece of the puzzle insofar as working on a piece of the technology. But the technology itself, I think it's really spread out across the globe right now. I don't think it's just in the United States at all. I think there's a lot of stuff going out to other areas. I mean, Russia, and I hope not China, but I suspect China as well. And that's another thing, too, man. When they start targeting citizens across the globe, okay, so they're going to target the Americans from another foreign land, and they're going to target them with this communication system and destroy everybody's life and well-being. Well, that's a huge war. That's a huge battle. You're talking some serious machine technological war.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like a drone that is driven from someone in Virginia that could be anywhere in the Middle East, connected
right,
over satellites and internet.
Yeah, it's all weaponized.
And that's the psychological, the psychic equivalent. So this is a world that we don't really want to have.
Well, unfortunately, they're misusing the technology. I think that if they were to use it with wisdom, I don't have a problem with synthetic telepathy, and I've said this before, because I'm naturally telepathic. It's almost natural for me now to have communication with a synthetic communication system. I really don't mind it. What I do mind is being abused, tortured, manipulated, programmed, or bullied by a psychotronic weapon system deployed from remote distance. That ticked me off. So things like that. But I do, and I always said this, I'm like, this would make for the great astronaut. I mean, literally, you're on another planet or wherever, you're in the black space program and you have the synthetic telepathy hookup. Honestly, it's a great thing if you're using it with wisdom. But if you're not, forget it. It's going to take everybody out. The consequences are way too high right now because there's no wisdom used with the technology.
Yeah, so what about the position of free will in all this?
Well, I don't think free will is being honored, because I don't think they honored my free will. I mean, I was fearless when it came to the communication system. When they tagged me with it, I wasn't afraid. Because that's not my nature to be afraid. I'm so fortified in the universe that I don't have any fear. I feel like I'm always protected and it's okay. Everything's going to be all right, which it always is. But, you know, the bottom line is a lot of people are not wired like that at all. And they might see it as a totally different thing. If I answered your question or not.
So you have a sense that you're protected.
Well, definitely fortified. I mean, I I've taken a lot of hits. Let's put it this way. I always tell people I feel like the, you know, the USS Enterprise. I feel like, you know, my poor
shield
ship.
Down, Captain.
My physical vessel has been so tortured. It's been through hell and back. And I still, you know, stay healthy as best I can. But I'm telling you, I took a lot of hits. And I don't know to this day what kind of damage has been done. I intuitively say that it's probably split my life in half being through this type of a program. I don't think it's helped me, to live a healthier, longer life. Let's put it that way.
Well, from the sound
of
it.
Well, I hope this isn't too negative for you. I mean,
it's No, it's all right, Solaris, because we are, you know, we deal with difficult subjects. I like to deal with the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
And no matter how unsavory it might appear to be, this is part of, you know, you've got part of the puzzle because of the crucible in which you have alchemized your life.
Mm-hmm.
So we can further distill this into wisdom for that can help others. And
I agree.
I hope that is any kind of consolation. And I'm pretty sure that that's why you have a Revolution radio show on Saturday nights at 10 PST? No, is it?
It's actually midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Midnight Eastern, so it's 9 PST, yeah. It's always PST on Wolf Spirit Radio.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's always PST. Even me. I'm in Scotland, but I run on PST, so people wonder why they don't see me in the day.
It's good to hear your voice, though. You sound really good.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's a studio mic. It's the $500 mic that makes it work.
So it's a good voice for it.
So, Solaris, we're looking at how these things, you know, started occurring to you. So there's this guy. Have you ever met him in person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've met several times and talked on the phone several times. And I had to testify him in 2006. I had to testify against him in court and expose some of this technology, which, of course, was ignored. So, yeah, I went through the whole deal of trying to expose this misuse of technology, which was actually his suggestion. He suggested I talk to a magistrate about it. But when I talked to him in person, he confirmed the hearing, what we call a hearing, a special hearing, something that most people can't hear. So it was not really positive, but I trusted him as long as I could until it was just to the point where I was getting so tortured. I was like, this is not resolving anything, and they kept stalling for time. So wound up coming back to Colorado and then having to go to court and testify, and then it was pretty much ignored and thrown out. And I have all the records and everything. And, you know, I still have the anomaly signatures. And I've, like I said, I just transcended the technology. I've kind of pushed everything behind me and graced it and moved on, because there's no place to go going backwards anymore. I just have to keep going forward. And I think we're all understanding that, you know, okay, this happened. Let's move on to the next level of whatever it is. And that's where I'm heading.
That's right. We have to let go of the things that keep us magnetically stuck to the past.
Oh, absolutely.
That stop us from moving forwards, because there's, you know, we've got to be able to jump up a bit. We can't do that with all the lead weights and the magnets.
Right, and a lot of things with the psychotronic programs, they'll try to get people in a loop so that they're constantly reliving. It's like Groundhog Day, constant reliving dialogue and things, and I think that drives people to madness. A lot of people, I've heard a lot of horror stories about different people getting hit with something that's so repetitive and destructive in their lives. So I guess, you know, all I can say is break the patterning and re-pattern. I call myself a metaprogrammer because I reprogrammed myself. You know, a step-by-step process of reprogramming to higher octaves of higher consciousness. You know, if it's negative, it has to go. If it's not beneficial to my celestial spiritual design, it has to go.
That's good. That's a very deep area of interest for me. You know, obviously, like I said, I'm a programmer.
Right.
I've been writing databases, and, you know, I did some CAD work a few years ago. Mapping maps.
Cool. AutoCAD, that's what I did. Yeah.
So
surveying?
GIS, using ArcView.
Cool.
So writing scripts. So basically, it does, and now you can just kind of get it on the web. It's called Google Maps. But then it was a very expensive program, and you had to buy the maps from the Ordnance Survey. And then I had to stitch them together using AutoCAD, export them as a file into this other program, and then it would display the map, and you could zoom in and click on things, and then it would take you to the database.
Wow.
And then you could match up things from the database into the map. And so you could say, give me all those things within this area. But it was for a forestry and for housing management of a country estate. So I've had some experience using that 3D mapping
Well, it's probably benefiting you on a higher level of consciousness. You know, whatever we do on this planet, profession wise, somehow benefits us to some degree. I think I really do.
Yeah, I think I'm cosmically something to do with maps.
Yeah, me too. I love maps big time. Yeah, I used to love making maps. It was fun. That was taken away from me. I mean, I could have gone back into it, but I was so traumatized by the event back in 2004. I mean, I literally lost everything. I lost my husband, my marriage, my future with him. I mean, everything was gone, my home, everything. It was so weird. It's really strange when you think about it. And then that's a huge risk for anybody to take to stalk you out of your house, to chase you out of your house with this type of communication system. I mean, that was a huge thing. I can't imagine people being that bold, doing that and chasing somebody out of their house. I mean, it wasn't like I went somewhere for this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like you signed up.
No. And they did knock on my door and ask me.
No.
So.
So let's look at some of the... Okay. So can we talk like software, operating system, and stuff like that? We have, from what I can understand, we've got like an organic, regular mind thing going on, and then there's an overlay that is programmed using forms of trauma and reprogramming. Can you talk a load about how this thing works in terms of what it is, how it gets hijacked, and how we can then begin to understand that there is a program running? This is the thing. Most people don't know there is a program running.
In their head, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think they would know, because honestly, if they start to hear something that sounds like a radio station turned on all of a sudden in their head, that's a real red flag right there. If it sounds like, if they start to sleep at night and then they all of a sudden feel like a television's been left on and there's noise in the house, like it sounds like a TV's on, that they're doing a sweep. They're doing an exterior sweep on the house. So you probably, chances are, they're sweeping your home for an analysis of you. So pay attention to that if you hear noises that sound like a television with what I call a TV on. And I mean, I've literally heard those things before, and I never thought about it until later on after I started doing the investigation and the technology. But then later on, when you get tagged with it, when they start to tag your electromagnetic field, and they do this remotely by satellite, certainly can, and when they open up that communication system, I mean, they literally tag the electromagnetic field, but what they'll do is they'll map everything about you, your bios, your vitals, your heart rate, your every single thing you can think of gets mapped, your neural circuitry gets mapped, your psychic centers get mapped, and interfaced onto a brain template into a communication system in an underground area, which is a black area nobody has access to except a few personnel who have a clearance, obviously. So you have those kinds of things that are going on, and that's all about assessment and analysis. And once they start doing an analysis on you, you'll start hearing the communication. They'll try to get your attention with dialogue. Sometimes it's a mock radio communication system. Other times it's a live agent, like with me. And then eventually it will get interfaced onto an artificial intelligence at some point if they decide they want to do that. It's not all the time. I will tell you that sometimes it's a back and forth, like ebb and flow with me. I had the communication system live feed real time where I was able to communicate back and forth like I'm communicating with you. Most people don't have that option. They're forced to listen to something. They can't counter it. They don't know how to counter it, and that can really be detrimental to them. So the biggest alert to them would be to, if they all of a sudden start to hear, and I hate to say hearing voices, it's not really hearing voices. You're hearing a mock radio communication system. You're hearing a broadcast, and it's manufactured. It's man-made. It's not something that you have to think you're going losing your mind. But I will tell people that if you're naturally psychic, you're more probably apt to be able to tune into it, because it's as psychics, we tune into every frequency around us, everything. We're like big radio stations, you know, big antennas. So we can tune into everything, and that's just another thing to tune into. Unfortunately, you know, we pick it up like a broadcast. And then they attach on. And once they attach on, it's a little bit harder to shake off, because then they'll start using implants and remote implanting and things like that, where where it's a little bit more difficult. But insofar as the brainwashing goes, what they'll do to psychologically program people is really try to break them down, break their egos down, break them down to a point where they're almost like children. They'll try to rename them. They'll try to push them 24/7 with the same word over and over and over again. It's basically it's a psychological torture that no one else can hear but you or your handler or a few people in a room somewhere. And it's literally designed to take you down so that they can reprogram you, whether it's a Manchurian candidate they want to use or someone recruited for their team. I mean, there's so many different agendas for it. What I've noticed is that they usually go after people and they usually try to get them to do very bad things. And most people commit suicide. They won't do the bad things. They'll kill themselves instead. And me, I was like, no way. I'm very determined and very strong. So, and the fact that I had a live handler, you know, I really was able to hold my own just fine. But I think that a lot of people really, it's really rough. It's a very rough ride for people.
Well, this is producing a lot of interest in the chat room. And one chatted Swede says, how about a weird metallic voice? Do people get that?
Metallic voice? Well, I guess they could use a modulation. I mean, they can mimic voices. They certainly can mimic an ancestor. They can mimic a relative of yours, whether it's been one that's alive or transferred out. That happens a lot. It's like the Terminator. They can literally create any kind of voice pattern. So yeah, they could change it to a metallic. They could also create a false extraterrestrial contact too. So you have to be very, very careful. And that's why I say be very clear about who you are on a higher level of consciousness so that you're not pulling in things that are not connected to a real extraterrestrial race, but you're pulling in, you don't want to pull things like that. In. You know, you want to pull in the full light energies of the higher harmonics opposed to these guys manufacturing these entities. And that's why nowadays, you know, you see everybody who's a channel. You have to be, I kind of question some of these channels because if they're channeling disembodied entities or a broadcast like that, they will use them to be disinformation agents and they won't even know it.
That's right, because it feels like you're talking to God or God's talking to you and answering the questions in a sensible way. So we, you know, where I live here in Findhorn, and I was mentioning it the other day, there was a lady who heard a voice in her head and started writing all these wisdom things and has basically created a kind of New Age foundation here. In fact, they call it the Findhorn Foundation because that's the village that it grew up in. However, this is just next door to an RAF base, and it's the intelligence service arm of the RAF. It was our version of the AWACS, you know, the early warning aircraft.
Right.
Your guys have got a mushroom on the top of the plane. Our guys have got these old DC-10s that have got, not a DC-10, a Comet, the De Havilland Comet, with a kind of bulbous second fuselage under the thing. And in fact, they used in the early days the same computers that I used to use in the university. So I used to have contact with as a user group. I used to have contact with these RAF bods. You know, it was very interesting that I'm here. Anyway, meanwhile, there have been several books that have been dictated out of this using this technology, and I also believe that. Certain books like the Course in Miracles were created using this technology by somebody thinking that it was like Jesus or something like that.
Right. I've seen that too. Yeah, and I have friends that are really big on A Course in Miracles, by the way. I have to tell you.
But I'm sorry, you know, A Course in Miracles to me, it's like, it's a novel, you know.
Well, it's funny because every time I was even gifted with a beautiful copy and I still cannot read it. I'm like, this does not resonate, does not compute. But, you know, I do believe that happens a lot, and a lot of people are not channeling what they think they're channeling, and whether it's technological or a disembodied spirit, once again, they need clarity with that, and I think that is happening. I really do. And they would never know the difference. I mean, they wouldn't understand it unless they've been through a very high level of their own consciousness and psyche to a point where they're really, really highly telepathic. And then if they get hit with an artificial communication system, I mean, for me, it was a no-brainer, man. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is man-made. I knew it was because I'm a natural clairvoyant. I'm naturally telepathic. I mean, I have a natural ability to tune into frequencies, so it was very easy for me to detect what was going on. I mean, they could not pull the wool from my eyes, you know, or the carpet in front of my feet, whatever you want to say, but... You know, a lot of people, I think, would have more of a challenge, and perhaps that's one of the reasons they use them for mediums. You know, it reminds me of the Vril Society, too. I mean, those women were being used as mediums for communication. Now, were they really in communication with extraterrestrials? Well, they were using a lot of mind control back then with the Nazis, so who knows? Could it have been a mind control thing opposed to the real deal? It's highly possible. So that's something else to look at.
Yeah, the Vril. The Vril girls.
And I love, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a very powerful psychic when I need to be, but I will tell you, you know, when I look back now after where I've been with the technology, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, when did, you know, they probably used it on this and this and this, I'm looking all around now, but, you know, that's just because of the angle I've come from.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, you know, once you've got a little bit of knowledge, and this is what I'm saying, you know, you've got the experience, and now you've got knowledge, and that knowledge can be applied in various other ways, because you understand the pattern, the MO. They taught you how to find patterns, right, in order to set you to hypnotic states. But you can also, you know, you've also got that connection ability and can see patterns that will pertain to, you know, how to mess with them as well.
Well, I think so, but you know, my side, I'm not a bully, and I only counterattack. I mean, if somebody's trying to kill me, obviously I would counter, but I'm not the type to go after people at all. It's not my demeanor. I'm very fortified and confident in my own designs, and I think them bullying and pushing in me for a reaction, you know, they were really trying to get a reaction out of me with the psychotronic war games they were doing, and I push them back. I push them back enough to a point where they'd stop, you know, they'll leave me alone type thing, but I do think that the fact that I know how their game works, yeah, it gives us the advantage for sure. Yeah, and I mean, there are things I don't really want to talk about right now, but there are things that I'm planning on looking into more and more research-wise, and even my own programs, you know, types of programs that would be used to assist people to kind of deprogram them, or at least remove some of this toxic broadcasting that's really destroying their lives.
That's right. So this is something that I'd like to go with you. You know, basically... you know, I realize that we've all been programmed. We've all been programmed with the I don't know whether you can call it archonic overlay, or whatever you have this idea of, you know, the matrix, whatever you call it. You found a way to deprogram oneself from it. So let's kind of take a break, and we're going to play some of your recommendation, which is a track by Yes. Which
cool.
is yours is no disgrace. Do you have a connection with this?
I just like the band. I used to love their music. I thought John Anderson had a beautiful angelic voice, and the band itself, they had really nice music. So yeah,
so,
that's great.
Here we go. Off into the ethers goes John Anderson and Rick Wakeman and Steve Howe and who was the other one? The other bloke. I'm here with Solaris Blue Raven. We're
Hi
having
there.
A whale of a time. So, programming, deprogramming, all the thing. I mean, I was born Jewish, right? I'm Jewish and Catholic, and it's everything's my fault, obviously. but I was born Jewish, and they didn't tell me about the circumcision sort of trauma thing. Yeah, so that's the first trauma that, you know, as you come out. And it wasn't good before that, anyway. But I can't remember what I was getting to. Yes, programming. So they traumatize you as you come out. And so there's some kind of programming that has to be, that is kind of inserted. And I suppose you would say that circumcision could be defined as a satanic ceremony where a child is traumatized and some kind of demon injected of some kind.
Well, I think that anytime you're doing something to harm the body and cause it pain, it's getting traumatized at the cellular level for sure. And of course tradition, whether it's religion or belief systems, I mean, when we enter onto this planet, we kind of have to naturally deprogram from what we're going to be exposed to as we live, because everything is based on a false reality and a lie. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's truly not productive. I mean, the only thing that's productive on this world for us is really nature and harmonics, music, sound, love, higher consciousness things. But all this other stuff is really just, it's busy information that doesn't have a very positive effect on the body or the four-body system, is from what I've experienced. So I do think that does create trauma at the cellular level, and especially for children, you know, I mean, they do horrific things in the Muslim world, too. It's just disgusting. I don't understand that. You know, it's not based on a higher level of consciousness, and yet you can't explain that to him. And it's not really culture-based either, because you're not talking culture here. You're just talking uneducated. If people were evolved on a higher level of consciousness, they wouldn't be doing half the the things they're doing on this world. And I think a lot of that education has been lost throughout centuries. I mean, and we, lucky ones like us who are star beings, we come with a lot more of a database so that we use the universe as our benchmark for information opposed to man's old information here, you know?
Yeah. And so anchoring a galactic rule back on the Earth, because it feels like it's a bit like coming into a lawless town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like anything goes here.
You're part of the police force, and oh, my God, what the heck's going on here? You know,
it is. It's a very hard planet to incarnate on. You know, I've heard that before, too, and I tend to believe that because it's rough. I mean, it's a coarse energetic here on a lot of different levels, and I think that there's been a... Talk about the history and imprinting of the Earth. My goodness, you know, talk about trauma. I'm sure this Earth has seen and heard things that mankind would be appalled to even listen to. I mean, just think about it. Not only have we contributed to some of that damage, but considering how old the Earth is itself, and the old history beyond what we even know, that's part of the trauma too. I think the Earth is going through a cycle of cleansing and rebirthing on the same level.
Yeah, well, it certainly is happening to the people that I know who are on a sensitive level, and that's all over the planet. So if something's happening all over the planet, then it's something's happening to the planet, and it's affecting us in turn.
Right.
And we also see that something's happening to the sun right now as we speak. And then there's something's happening to the solar system right now as we speak. You posted a beautiful picture the other day about this kind of huge cone of rainbow, brilliantly colored light that is coming in from somewhere in the cosmos. I thought, all right, well, that to me, that just looks like the galactic wave. What we see is the ribbon, the galactic ribbon of the ripples that come out from the center of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah. So we're in this chain reaction process that is going on that is instant. In cosmological terms, it's rather instant. What have you seen and experienced in your own reality? For instance, Solaris, do you think that what those guys who you were interacting with were trying to do is to stop you from being to stop you from being upgraded in this way? And from what I can see, they failed in their attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to cause some kind of feedback loop when the wave does hit.
I would think so. I mean, well, there are no free shots in the universe. I always tell people that. So, you know, you better be careful for the boomerang effect. So I don't have to generate it. You know, I give it to the universe, and the universe will take care of the whole scenario. But I do think I have been calibrated for something else. You know, I've been through this negative cycle, and now my body's modified. There's anomaly signatures and things like that that I've learned to calibrate and work with. So I am different now, for better or for worse. I mean, but I'm choosing the more positive cycle. But I do think they were trying to control, manipulate, and shut me down from ascending to even a higher overtone of my celestial design. And also, when they tagged me before that, I was getting real clear merging with higher race celestials. Big time energetics. I was pulling in a very vast amount of energy and what I would call celestials. So there was a definite presence of a higher source celestial design that was with me when they tagged me with their version of a communication system. So that had something to do with it.
So do you know much about the whole wormhole thing? I heard, you know, there was a few years ago thing, there was a, like, when this galactic wave hits the sun, there's going to be wormholes exploding out of it everywhere and doing all sorts of things. I often wonder if they've actually been hitting us and that some of the odd power outages and things that have happened anomalies. That's your word, isn't it? Mine's beyond, yours is normally.
Anomalies.
Have been happening as a result of micro wormholes that have been emitted from the sun. Have you heard anything, or am I talking out of the
Well, I haven't heard that, but anything is possible. I do know that there are photons that go through the sun. I do know that the sun itself and the energetics that connect in through the sun and down onto the earth are very celestial and very much connected to our celestial heritage. And they alter the DNA, they activate the DNA, they raise our vibratory rate and actually mutate us to a higher level of who we are as light beings. I do know that for a fact. That's part of the Mystery School teachings. So the sun and the energies that go through the sun and celestial energies that connect into the sun are very, very significant. And that's why when they have all these chemtrails and things that are cloaking the skies and blocking that beautiful sun from shining down on us, because we need it. It fortifies us. It's a fuel for our spirits. And it's fuel for everything else on the earth, actually. So I haven't heard that part about the wormholes, but I don't discount, because there's a lot happening in the universe right now, and we're all connected as a set. The planet Earth is not separate from everything else in the universe, the solar system. So they're all interconnected. They're all transmitting and receiving together, and they're all being affected by the same waves of energies in the universe, whether people realize it or not. So I think that's really happening, and I think some of the stuff people are feeling, even with the Earth doing her thing, and even the erratic behavior of people, there's a struggle for power right now, and if they have a need to struggle for power, that's because they're losing power. You know, if they feel this need that they have to resort to such a misuse of technology to control and manipulate, then you know darn well something big's happening, in my opinion.
Yeah, running out of options.
Yeah, exactly. That's a desperate move on a chessboard, let me tell you. So I think we're going to be fine, but we're definitely shifting. And I see good things with the comet ISON. Everybody's kind of fear-based with that, and I don't see anything negative out of that at all.
Well, this is a very interesting point. I don't know if anyone noticed my Facebook post. I put a post of a picture of me that I took about 12 years ago. A friend of mine took it, maybe. And it's me with a t-shirt, which is a crop circle t-shirt. And it's the classic three swallowtail design. I don't know if you're aware of this. Anyone can look it. But it's a classic crop circle. And I'm looking at this now, and I'm seeing that what it's depicting is like nine stages of comet ISON.
And oh, that's right.
It's comet ISON has just opened up, and it literally has a swallowtail shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that too.
And what this is depicting is this shape will get larger and larger, and then it's going to be joined by something else, two other
nice.
Things.
Well, I hold the vision for that in a good way. Anytime there's a meteor shower or a comet, I love it, because to me that just reboots my battery. I get all charged up.
Oh, me too.
A lot of people get weird, you know, really strange. I just get like, oh, yeah, it's beautiful, the soul.
Yeah. So. I saw a fireball a couple of years ago. That was beautiful.
It
was aurora in the north, because I live quite north here, 3 degrees off the Arctic Circle. So we see aurora sometimes, and it was one really, really heavy night after a solar storm, and then this boom, big flash as it came down. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, moments like that, you know, you have to really appreciate the moment of life. You know, how many more times do you think you'll get to see these things? And I know, you know, sometimes people take life for granted, and it's like, you know, watching the sunrise and watching the moon and just looking at the stars and being with loved ones. I mean, you really can't take for granted every moment of life and the illusion of living, because to me, I think that's the one thing I realized when I was tagged with the communication system. It ripped so much away from me that was so important, you know, to not be able to look at a tree without them labeling it for me something else. I mean, I couldn't think for myself, and I think that it's really important that people understand that the mind is something that you should really respect and learn how to train your mind and center your mind so that you're able to appreciate every moment while you're here. And that's what rings true to me when you mention that, you know, just observing beauty. I mean, the nature of life, the magic in the universe. I mean, it's, you can't beat that.
Yeah, it does it all by itself.
I mean, what a light show, seriously.
Yeah.
A natural light show.
Yeah. That's the lovely thing about nature. You know, it does it all by itself. You don't have to mess with it.
It's beautiful, yeah. Wish more people would tune into that instead of just not appreciating. They're so busy, you know, they get in their cars, they go to work, they come home. And I understand that cycle of work. But at the same time, you have to break orbit with it. You have to walk away and appreciate the bigger picture of things. And I think that's what's poisoned our society, you know, where we're just, the society, the collectives are just so lost sometimes and derailed. And so, you know, once again, that's that balance between technology and spirituality.
Yeah, so when you... When you walk around, do you have? I heard somebody was talking about, you know, you get so wired into machines that. Oh yeah, there's this woman. She can. She's tuned into machinery. Do you feel that you have like personal relationships with machinery, as it were?
Well, I've been interfaced with artificial intelligence, so I do have a certain amount of anomaly signatures that are embedded. Insofar as being around machines goes, I tend to, unfortunately, when I work surveillance in the surveillance room, I have a habit of accidentally just shutting things down with my energy field, and in a surveillance room, that's not a good thing because you need surveillance, otherwise you have to close certain areas. But so that alone, I mean, my body energetically interferes with electricity and sometimes takes things off, you know, offline and things like that. That's something that I interfere with once in a while, but most of the time I don't notice it. I mean, I am calibrated for machines because of the type of anomaly signature that I have.
Okay. You've used the word a few times. Let's talk anomaly signatures.
Okay. It's unique unto me right now. I'll tell you that my signature itself is able to interact with a lot of different things. It interacts with sound frequencies, the wind. It's very symbiotic. And it's from what I can tell, it's very permanent. It's integrated into my neural circuitry.
Can you?
It started.
What's that? It started when?
No, it started back in 2004. This is when I was tagged with the communication system, and I remember the night they tagged me because it felt like I was having surgery, and I was awake. I wasn't sleeping, and it felt like pressure in my chest cavity, and then they opened up that area. And, you know, what's interesting is that I had a girlfriend of mine who was heavily into radionics on Maui, a very powerful healer herself, and I told her, I said, I know that this is, something's wrong. You know, they've tagged my Merkaba signal. And so she did a scan, and sure enough, there was a huge hole in the area where my heart was, my heart center, my heart chakra. And that whole area, she said, it looked like somebody just ripped right through it. She could see it through the radionics. She's like, unbelievable. And that was like, well, that to me was the proof right there on so many different other levels on the esoteric side of it. But that signature has been with me, and it does, they initially started it with music, and they would drum live feed real time, play instruments, guitars, and things like that. And then eventually it was interfaced onto all different kinds of sounds and things, and including regular radio, which includes music. So to this day, I have things that bounce music on radio. I have to be careful when I listen to music now and then because it's annoying. But I've transcended a lot of the communication and the anomaly. So that's where that thing is at.
So the anomaly... The anomaly signature is an implant. Is it a three-dimensional device, or is it?
It's a signal. It's not a device at all. It's a signal. It's a signature, and it's a signal, and it interacts with my electrical circuitry and my what I call my secondary circulatory system. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but it's literally your prana, your life force, your universal life force energy, your Merkaba signal. And if you're into Merkaba, if anybody is understanding what I'm talking about, I know it sounds really out there and esoteric, but your audience seems to be up to speed. Mm-hmm. Merkaba, once you start meditating on the unified chakra, for example, you start bringing in celestial harmonics. You start basically unifying all chakras into one, and that reaches a zero point. When that zero point is established, you get multidimensional consciousness at a very high frequency and a very natural universal celestial heartbeat and pulse that's in rhythm and harmonic with the universal pulse. So basically you're in sync with the universal pulse, and that's like a heartbeat, but it's not a heartbeat. It's a pulse. It's a wave of energy. Well, that's what they tagged with their communication system. So what I have is a combination of my own Merkaba zero point transmission and also an artificial intelligence type of alternate modulation signal.
So that's connected to people, but when you say there's a direct link, does that mean that you've got like so what I'm trying to figure out, okay, say I've got this frequency, my base, my regular, my soul bodily, the frequency that my soul talks to my body in is like 47 cycles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that what your implant might do is that it runs at 50 cycles, which is close enough to 47 cycles, but it kind of standardizes it a little bit like 432 and 440 hertz with music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you're talking about? Is that your that's the anomaly?
I'm just well, the It's not, unfortunately, it's not a frequency like what you're thinking of, like the regular aura. Like, we all generate a frequency and vibration that's natural and normal, and that can be measured, and it can be used, you can use different types of devices to measure that. This is a signal anomaly, and it's encrypted, so it's a little bit different than that. I'm not sure exactly what frequency they've been using, because I've been playing with it for a while now, but I do know it's encrypted. And hard to break through, so to speak. But I also know that part of me, I'm the one who was generating the universal celestial big pulse signal to begin with. So all they did was piggyback onto that with their communication system. So, and I just, you know, like I said, I've just been so used to it after all these years. It's been 10 years now. So I've been able to calibrate and it's integrated in. So it's not something that's disconnected from me. And if you have the right instruments, it'll blow people's minds because they'll see my heartbeat. They'll probably get a read on my vibration, and then they'll see this other thing going, like, what the hell is that? And that's it. So, but I don't refuse to be a lab rat, you know. I'm working with my own technology right now, and as far as I'm concerned, this is my body, and I own it. So that's where I'm at with it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. We have a guest who comes on a regular basis, Shari Edwards, and she uses frequencies for healing. And mm-hmm. she derives the frequency from the sound of the voice, the frequencies of the voice, and she analyzes that and then gives you a frequency, you know, that could be something like...
Yeah. Nice. Is that radionics she does?
No. It's purely acoustic sound analysis. So I would record your voice. You know, I could do it to you, actually. Not on the show, but I would record your voice, and I have a software spectral analyzer. And that gives me a frequency, and it'll show up, you know, it shows up as a peak or a trough. And I would expect to, with you, that I would, there may be some other frequency in there.
Well, there's a lot of frequencies, and I will tell you, it's notorious for cloaking, too. And I'll say that point blank. You know, I have a DVD documentary out where it was measured. A lot of my anomalies were measured by Steve Colburn, who works with Dr. Roger Lear. And so that was, I have that on video. As a matter of fact, but yeah, with the right technology, you could probably pick up on it, I'm sure. But it's interesting. I've had all sorts of people who work in electronics, especially, get really like frustrated because they think they know it all, and they're like, "Well, that can't be possible." You know, it is possible. Trust me. So, you know.
Well, you know, I worked in when I left university, I went to work in another institute for another year, and. In that I started installing PCs, and it was the first time, you know, people had their own computers on their own desk. And I could almost tell you which ones would have the problems. There are jittery people.
Well,
people
funny.
Who flubber and jitter, right? They have an effect on computers. And, you know, they have this kind of scattered energy in their field, and they will scatter the energy of their computers.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're electric, so that makes perfect sense. You know, before I was tagged with this communication system, I've mentioned this before on other interviews, I mean, I was able to hold, like, Christmas lights and things and surge them with my hands. And I would do unified chakra meditations, or we'd do what I call grid running, and I would have a circle group of women that would come over who were, would do, like, we would do a kind of a remote viewing, but we would do what I call grid running to the earth. It's descending light onto the grids of the earth to help raise consciousness. And every time I do that, the woman next to me, she would get arrhythmias and things because my electrical field was that powerful. It would short her out. So people had to be... I started realizing how powerful I was getting when I started affecting people electrically. And then I
stand there to people with pacemakers.
Yeah, literally. And then I would work on people doing healing work. And I mean, it would just be like a bolt of lightning. They said it feel like lightning going through their body. So I really had to watch it. And I had to tone that down a little bit. But that's right before I was tagged with a communication system, too. So I think I was really at that right rate of frequency and vibration to get tagged with it.
So here's another thing. Have they attempted to get you to use alien technology?
Well, I think part of the technology that I have been embedded with is not from here, to be honest. I think it's a hybridization of artificial intelligence and some of the black ops, black programs that were, some of their technology is based on artificial, I don't say artificial, but off-world species merged with artificial intelligence in the underground. So I already have a little bit of that, I'm sure of. So, and plus we're starseeds to begin with. I mean, so you get a mix right there.
Yeah, it's the ability to use the the alien devices, basically.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure that if I was in... I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. No. You were talking.
That's all right. You need polyelectricity to do it, apparently.
Well, yeah, and it's also part of that. What comes to mind is the whole idea of the symbiotic relationship between, like, a craft and being able to merge with these vehicles in order to navigate with them. In other words, we could pilot things with this type of technology embedded in our you know, neural circuitry, so to speak. So you're remotely being able to merge with machines, craft, aircraft, celestial craft, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's a natural ability that we have had from other lifetimes and also from off-world when we were not from here. So, I mean, this is where it gets really esoteric and mystical, because a lot of what's happened to me is based on the truth of what we really are on a celestial, off-world level of extraterrestrials. Yet, their version, what they're doing is re-engineering, reverse engineering a lot of technology, and then using star seeds as guinea pigs to be able to test some of this stuff. And it works. So that's another cycle of it.
Interesting. So how do we get to the next phase where we're in command of the things that they're trying to do to us? How do we master? What are the key? I think probably the best word for it is attitudes that you have to take in order to disempower this infiltration and re-empower oneself. What are the kind of attitude key?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is to have intent and be very strong in your mental body and your spiritual body and your spiritual design. But, you know, I have to tell you, I was very, very protected, shielded. I mean, it wasn't like I was psychically open to be a guinea pig for this technology. So no matter how powerful or fortified you feel, you can always be targeted with this type of a technology. I will say, I never tried to harm the opposite person who was involved in this. I've tried to maintain a neutral stance because they're being controlled and manipulated, and I'm aware of that. So what I've done is take my power back step by step, but I think the biggest empowerment for people is to understand technology, understand spirituality, and learn that there is a bridge that gaps both. And that's the biggest thing, excuse me, because most people are very scientific and they don't want to look over to the other side of the bridge and say, well, there's the spiritual side of it, because they go hand in hand on a lot of different levels. And although this is a technological thing they've done to me, what attracted them to my field was spirituality. That's for sure. So I think the biggest empowerment we can possibly be as a race is to be spiritually empowered, mentally strong, and as fortified as we can in our higher self design, our oversoul, excuse me, what they call the ascended master, because that's what the higher self is. It's an ascended master consciousness.
Absolutely. And it comes in phases, and in the esoteric literature, these phases are called initiations. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a very specific process of initiation, and it's mostly to do with letting go of things.
Yep.
Of letting go of your, you see, some of those things that happen to you, they would directly relate to these initiation processes. For instance, and you know, often it happens kicking and screaming. It has to be authentic. You have to authentically go through it. You have to go through all the fear of it. You have to experience all the things, mm-hmm. all the way to the edge. And, you know, having your personality ray package, you'd have to go all the way to the edge and probably beyond before you kind of let go. So that's what causes you to let go. And the first thing you have to let go of is your family space, you know, the whole... you know, you have to go on a pilgrimage. You have to find your soul. You got to go on your journey, and you're often one often doesn't leave voluntarily to go on this journey. It's not it's not what you'd recommend to anybody, but it's what has to happen.
Right.
Eventually, it happens to all of humanity, one way or another. You know, it might be a bloody typhoon that turns your house into matchsticks. That means you have to go somewhere else. But it means you have to come out of your environment. That's the first one. And the second one is overcoming your emotions. And that also includes your programming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the process that a vast number of what are called light workers are going through right now.
Right. That makes sense.
And the choice is what you know you need to do in your heart and what the world is telling you to do, all the people around you. And this is the process that's going on for everybody, because it's a mass evolution, and this is exactly what we're talking about, the ascended masters. And because we're all ascended masters, anybody who's listening to this is ascended master.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with that. That's well said, by the way. So spot on.
Thank you.
Yes, very good. And that is, I guess I did go through a type of initiation through a very dark corridor. Certainly was a calibration to another reality. And like I said, I don't have a problem with technology. It's the misuse of. And it was rough. There's no doubt about it. And I don't wish it on other people. I think the reason that I get a little more guarded and defensive about it is because I don't want it to take people's lives away. And it is notorious. Psychotronic warfare is notorious for forcing people into suicide. And I really thought to myself, this is so wrong. So there is initiation, and I've been through plenty of initiations, whether it's on the inner planes or it's through a physical initiation. I've had plenty of those before I was hit with the program. One was Enochian initiations, which was extremely powerful. So I have a lot under my belt initiation-wise. I just don't talk about it. I'm kind of cloaked, but in a good way. But, you know, it's real interesting to see this whole thing kind of parallel, and yet it's dovetailing at the same time. But I think we are becoming more and more empowered by knowing what's really happening. And if you know what's behind the curtain, it makes it a lot easier to navigate and deal with life.
Yeah, well, as soon as you realize that we're now on a stage, we were in the audience, we're now on a stage, and we're seeing how there's all these trapdoors and there's ropes and pulleys and things that make things seem, things that are impossible, possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like wire and mirrors and smoke and things like that. So we're seeing how the stagecraft works, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, we're watching people like Penn and Teller and Darren Brown. They're doing us a service. They're showing us, look, magic is not magic. Magic mm-hmm. is not magic. In fact, there's... it seems, you know, the only magic is black magic. If you're doing magic, then it's black, because every other kind of magic is not doing it. It's the doing in the mind and creating thought forms and working on that.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. Well, being someone who's into the craft, and I'll tell you on a positive level, and I've worked with a lot of covens, that's another avenue of a very deep esoteric mystery school teaching that I think has been watered down and misleading to a lot of other people, because what a lot of people do with books and on the craft and in the craft and whatever type of thing they're doing, I mean, there is no light or dark. You either are doing things for the benefit of people or you're trying to hurt them. I mean, it's a choice every day. It's working with energy every day just for any person. So it really doesn't have to do with magic on light or dark. On that level. But I'll tell you, a lot of people are trying to control and manipulate others, and they'll resort to lower astral behavior and low order, what I call, I don't call it magic, because I've seen a lot of people do, not seen them, but I know that there are people out there who do a lot of low order stuff. And that goes for anybody. I mean, that goes for anybody across the board. When you're swimming in the astral junkyard, you're not going to get very far. Let's put it that way. It doesn't matter what belief system you have. It could be mysticism or magic. It could be religion. It could be non-religion. If you're swimming in the lower astral junkyard, you're not going to get anywhere. And I try to tell people to get out of that, shake that skin off, shed that skin, and then regenerate to a higher level and really start working on light body. So I've been in a lot of different corridors, and I've taken the best of all worlds, but there is a lot of dark people out there. I don't say dark, but a lot of negative, bad things that happen when they're misusing energies they're not in control of. You know, they harness things they're not able to control. And I think that's part of the government, too, to be honest. I think they've pulled in a lot of things they cannot control.
Exactly. This it's like... well, they are trying to overextend themselves because there are not many of them, and so they're trying to extend and extend, and the more they extend, the more fragile it all becomes.
Mm-hmm.
What is fragile? Thought is fragile. Thought is very fragile, and the whole thing is a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's enhanced by electricity in this way that they're doing it, but in the end, I think that when the this energy that is building up, I can feel it building up, I can feel it in my feet and I can feel it in my heart, and it builds up and builds up and builds up, and it doesn't get any less. You just build, it just builds up in a little burst, and then you have the time to get used to it, and then it builds up in another burst, and you have time to get used to it, and so on. It's not going down. So it may be that the technology that they put into your mind, into your, not into your mind, but into your body, will be, what's the word, obsolete. Because the amount of electricity that it'll be running will be considerably less than the amount that you'll be running. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it does know how to say I do a unified chakra meditation, or I do something to amp up my field, it will start pulsing and it'll start amping. So it responds to what I do also. That's something else. But I think you're right. I mean, there is a way to disengage at some point in the continuum. When I ascend out of here, when I leave my body, that thing will go in its direction, I'm sure, and I will take my celestial design and ascend out. So I think what it's doing is storing data. And from what I've heard about a lot of people who have developed some of these programs in the underground, and these are patents, by the way, this type of technology can be used as a template of information. So
can I explain that a bit?
Well, basically what they're doing...
technology can be used as a template.
A brain template. What they'll do is they'll use it as a brain template, keep it stored in their undergrounds, and they could transfer the data into a clone, into a another person. It won't be me, but it might have my memories. It might have my experience. So that's another scenario. I mean, it gets really complex. This technology gets very, very complex.
Yeah,
so that's something I also looked at.
That is... So, template technology. So, basically, they can take a clone... it doesn't even need to be you. It doesn't have to be your body even, does it?
Yeah. No, not at all.
Can be anything. So it just... And it's a clone that thinks it's alive, that thinks it's
you.
It
will have an experience of something that it didn't really experience. It's like that movie Blade Runner, actually, with Philip K. Dick, was spot on with his information. Literally, it's something like that. I mean, you're a host for information that doesn't belong to you, is basically what it boils down to. So that brain template, whatever they store and whatever they transfer it into, that person will become a host for the information, but it won't be them. It will be a copy of information.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I'm blowing your mind.
I just blew my mind. Anyway,
so well, something to chew on, right?
Yeah, definitely something for Christmas dinner.
There you go.
So, while watching all five, you know, production cuts of Blade Runner.
Yep. Spot on.
So, hang on. Let me just see if I can get that. You could have somebody who goes through a whole load of life, and then you take a ghost image. That's what we call it in the computing world, right?
A ghost database. Yeah, that's perfect.
You
yeah.
can set up... All right, so here's what you do. I mean, this is what I've done in the past, and I do it a lot, is you take a blank computer, you load Windows XP onto it, you load Word, get all the software that you like, you put it all on, you load it, and then you snap an image of that, like a photograph, but you put that on a hard drive. And then if anything goes wrong, you just snap back from the hard drive, and it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to rewrite the whole hard drive, and it's exactly as it was when you took the image. And so you can start again. This is, if anybody has problems with viruses, this is what you do, my brothers and sisters. I can help you set that up. You have to pay me some money for this. People don't pay me enough money. But I need work. Solaris needs work as well. She does amazing things. I bet you can pull things from people. And what kind of things do you do for as personal service, Solaris?
Well, I have my website, and it's a lot of different things. I used to do the healing work. I'm not doing that right now. I'm doing more remote viewing for people. I'll do private sessions for people. I also have a background in surveillance, so I'm trying to avoid working for corporations again. I'm trying to move away from that. Plus, I'm a published author, so there's things that I'm working on. It's feast or famine, obviously. I'm sure you're familiar with the tiny published author, it's like, you know, they are what they are. But I write the books because the data needs to be out there, and that's the biggest reason. But, yeah, that's what I'm working on. I was going to tell you, too, that I don't know if you've ever seen Ghost in the Shell, the original Ghost in the Shell, but that's exactly what I'm talking about with the transferring of data and mind hacking is exactly what they were talking about in that Ghost in the Shell. It's an animation. But it's well worth looking at because it will explain a lot of information to a lot of people if they're lost.
Is that like a Japanese manga film?
It is. It's an anime Japanese. It was way out, gosh, I'm trying to think, back in the 80s, the original. I'm talking the original, not the series now. Right. But the information, they call it brain mind hacking. And literally that's what they're doing. They're tapping into the communication system. They're opening up a communication system, and these people have a live agent. And then the templates get transferred into other hosts and things like that. So, and they call them cyborgs, but they're really... they're people. I mean, we're bio machines, you know? I don't want to say I'm not a cyborg, obviously. I mean, but we are capable because we are crystalline in structure. I mean, we are supercomputers naturally. That's what we are. Our minds, our brains. I mean, my goodness, we're a lot more powerful than any supercomputer on the planet. Yet people don't realize the mind and how powerful it is because it has consciousness. I mean, the computers they create, even if they're artificial intelligence, don't have consciousness. They might have conscious template thought. What they've created for conscious, but it's not consciousness, and it's not source.
Yes, because it can't handle spontaneity.
It right.
Can't handle banana
it has no
battle,
soul.
You know. I'm sorry.
And it doesn't have a soul. Yeah. It doesn't have spirit. I mean, we come from the breath of the universe. Mm. We have soul. We have spirit. And that's huge. And without that, there's no life. They can create a simulation of life, but it won't be universal life. It won't be us. And then that's a huge thing. I mean, I really bring that to everybody's attention because there's nothing worse than being a host to an artificial design that has no soul. Mm. It's a very terrible feeling. And, you know, maybe the sadness you've picked up on in the past is part of that because it's a sad feeling to know it's almost like a loss, you know? It's almost like a parasite to the body
when
you have something like that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Night Shadow Anomaly Detective.
Yep, that's
Solaris
my website.
Solaris Blue Raven. How do people find you on the web?
Perfect. They can go into Night Shadow Anomaly Detectives, and that's my website. And there's a lot of information on there. So if you want to access it, you don't have to be a member, by the way. You can look at every page. I have information on there. I'm also on Facebook, so you can certainly get a hold of me on Facebook if you need to. And then my books are on Amazon.com. And I have a YouTube channel.
Ah, YouTube channel, people will have.
Yeah, Medusa Storm 001.
Medusa Storm 001.
Naturally. What does that tell you?
Madame Medusa. Anyway, maybe what I'll do is slow the pitch down of this show and make a 3-hour show. Because people, I mean, you really compress information. We have another guest, Laura Eisenhower. Do you know Laura?
Oh, I love Laura, yeah.
Yeah, I bet when the two of you, it's a high-speed information exchange, like broadband.
Everybody says that, yeah. We've never really met. She's supposed to be a guest on my show sometime. I think it's in December, I have to double-check. But yeah, we both talk fast.
Yeah. So presumably it's going to be a fantastic full duplex conversation.
Yeah, really. That's funny.
Yeah. She's a sister. I mean, there are people that are little bright sparks everywhere. And we can help each other because we've been separated. This is the problem. We've been separated all over the world.
I think that's huge that we, I think you're right. And that's part of the isolation is part of controlling and manipulating. When you isolate somebody, you're taking them away from their support group, so to speak.
Divide and rule. Divide and rule.
Yep.
So we are thankful for Skype for the great ability to create support groups and, we're all starting to open out now, and I don't think anyone or anything can stop us.
I agree.
With that, bless your heart. Thank you very much, Solaris Blue Raven.
And thank you, JP, and bless your heart, too. Appreciate it. It's been a wonderful, wonderful interview.
Thank you. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll have Frank Jordan coming up just in a little while. beyond.